You tuned in to the Kojo Namdi show on WAMU 88.5. Welcome. Later in the broadcast, we'll discuss local schools considering name changes because of the legacy of their namesake, including a Virginia high school named after Robert E. Lee and a D.C. high school named after Woodrow Wilson. But first, George Washington University Hospital ended negotiations to open a long-hoped-for new hospital on St. Elizabeth's campus in Ward 8. The plan to bring Southeast D.C. a hospital is now up in the air, even as a vote by the D.C. Council is expected later this month. Joining us now by phone is Vincent Gray. He is the D.C. Council member representing Ward 7 and chairperson of the Committee on Health. He's the former mayor of the District of Columbia. Mayor Gray, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Kojo. I'm delighted to be here with you today to talk about this important issue.
What was the district's original plan to bring a GW hospital to the St. Elizabeth's campus in Ward 8?
Well, the original plan was there was a process that was out. There was a process to which a number of hospitals had an opportunity to respond, including George Washington University. And it came to the executive, to the mayor's team. And as I understand it from them, theirs was the far superior proposal that was submitted. There were at least two or three other entities that submitted proposals, Kojo, as well. And at the end of the day, the George Washington University proposal, hospital proposal, was the one that was considered the most superior.
Indeed, there was another proposal from Howard and Sibley Hospital, Howard University and Sibley Hospital, but that proposal was not accepted. But nothing is that simple. After GW Hospital won a bid to build a new hospital on the St. Elizabeth's campus, the hospital said it would also need city approval of an expansion of its Foggy Bottom Hospital in order to finance the new hospital in Southeast. A project like that typically requires what's known as a certificate of need, which assesses whether a healthcare facility like that is, well, needed. In September, you introduced a bill that would allow GW Hospital to build the hospital on St. Elizabeth's campus and in Foggy Bottom without first establishing need. Why?
Well, in fact, this is an integrated healthcare system that we're working towards. It would include the services that are being provided at the hospital in Foggy Bottom, but even more importantly, the services that would be developed as a part of the hospital being built in Ward 8. And I think one of the most important things to point out, too, Kojo, is the fact that there really is no healthcare system on the east end of the city for 150,000 people. And that's been aggravated now by the closed down or the impending closed down of Providence Hospital, where lots of people who live in Ward 7 and 8 actually go for services. So I don't think there's any question about the need that exists on the east end. And when you look at the hospital in Foggy Bottom, it is at capacity. It is one of the two hospitals in the city that actually is at capacity. The other being Hospital Center, which is known to and used by many people. So it just seemed to us, in the interest of moving this forward, there's no argument, I think, about the need that exists on the east end of the city, and no need to argue, I think, about the capacity of GW to be able to provide those services. So I introduced a bill in working with the mayor's team, the city administrator, and the healthcare finance director that would allow us to move past that process so we could get this done much more quickly. And that's the bill that's been before the council now for about 2 to 3 months, and the one that's been debated in hearings and otherwise.
Well, you say that George Washington University Hospital in Foggy Bottom is at capacity, but both the university itself, of which you're an alum, that's your alma mater, both the university itself and Foggy Bottom ANCs seem to disagree with that. They don't seem to think there is a need in Foggy Bottom for George Washington University Hospital to expand. How would you deal with that?
Well, we dealt with it by saying that there is a need. There's no question. One need only go into the hospital at George Washington University to appreciate the extent of the capacity that they reached. And one obviously need only go to the other side of the city to appreciate how deep the need is there. I think for people who live in the Advisory Neighborhood Commission single-member district in that area, They just didn't want another hospital tower on the campus. One of the things that I did, which we did at the last council meeting, was to move 50 of the beds, which was approved, over to the new hospital to be built on the grounds of St. Elizabeth's Hospital, and also to move 50 of the beds that were proposed into the existing hospital facility. So 100 of those beds actually would be incorporated either into the new hospital or into the existing hospital. And then the other beds that would be built, they could be built anywhere on the campus, not necessarily, in a tower next to the existing hospital, but anywhere on the campus. And if GW then proposed to have the hospital, the additional beds built somewhere else, they would have to come back before the council.
Okay.
Kojo, one of the things that's unfortunately not been, I think, recognized by everybody is that the definitive agreement, which would have to come back before the council, which will incorporate all the issues and all the terms and conditions of the hospital, would spell out all the terms and conditions that are associated with the new hospital.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because your comments today and prior to this suggested that there can still be a negotiating opportunity, if you will. So in addition to the two amendments that you offered, there were others offered by Councilmember Trayon White. He wanted Howard University medical students to be able to train at this new hospital. Councilmember Alyssa Silfman wanted to transfer unionized United Medical Center's nurses and healthcare workers there as well. You called both of those amendments poison pills. Why?
Well, GW has now stepped forward and said, with those contained in the in the legislation, they really don't want to continue to negotiate any further. That was a letter that they sent to the city administrator, that they were terminating continuing discussion of the hospital being built and their role in it with those two provisions in it. Those things could have been worked through in the definitive agreement. The issue of what happens to the staff at United Medical Center could have been worked through. And in addition to that, a proposal that I was going to put forward with Trayon White and with Brandon Todd, essentially, would have said that, we will form a group that would involve Howard University, which has had a continuing interest of being involved in this, would involve Howard University in the process of working through some of these issues. But unfortunately, with the letter that we've gotten now from George Washington University and the position that the council has taken, it seems to have foreclosed. I mean, I basically postponed continuing consideration of this bill until the 18th of December, when hopefully we can work through some of these issues and be able to move forward. Absent that, GW has indicated that they are not going to continue the conversation any further.
What do you think it would take to get George Washington University Hospital involved in those conversations again? The amendments clearly played a role in their pulling out of the negotiations, but you seem to be suggesting that what was hard and fast in amendments that George Washington University Hospital objected to could have been negotiated in not necessarily such a hard and fast manner at a later date.
I think they could. In fact, it was clear in the legislation that the definitive agreement had to come back before the council. It would contain a number of the issues that have been raised in the course of this legislation being debated, and the council could always vote it up or vote it down. If they didn't like the agreements that have been reached in the definitive agreement, it could be voted down. That's what I really don't understand, and which I really don't appreciate at this stage, and that is, I think this is premature, what has happened, because, again, nothing could go forward anyway without the agreement that has to be reached. Nothing could go forward without the council's approval. You know, again, what's interesting, Kojo, is we've actually cut the budget. We've got $325 million in the budget to be able to do the construction of this. We've got the site established in legislation, and we're ready to go. And it just absolutely would be a shame not to be able to create a real healthcare system for people on the East End that not only would include the hospital, mind you, it would also include urgent care, of which there is none on the East End of the city. It would include specialty care. It would include ambulatory care. It would include all the elements of a first-class healthcare system that simply does not exist at this stage, that will only be exacerbated by the closure of Providence Hospital, when in fact you have lots of people from Ward 7 and Ward 8 who use Providence Hospital at this stage.
Well, I know.
It closed on the 14th of December, and now it's extended until the end of April.
I know you well enough to know that you don't give up very easily. So give me the back channel conversation here. Is GW ending negotiations possibly a negotiating tactic in and of itself? What are you doing to try to get them to come back to the table?
Well, we're trying to work to get these amendments out of the legislation. I don't have any doubt that GW is serious about not continuing the negotiations at this stage with these amendments that are in there. So, absent being able to get those amendments out of the legislation at this stage, it looks like they're done. It's like they're starting all over again. And that would be absolutely a tragic situation for people who had nothing thus far would have to endure. You know, we've got a United Medical Center, which is there and is being operated by an interim operator at this point. But I don't think anybody would make the argument that United Medical Center is an adequate substitute for what we're proposing with the new hospital and the new healthcare system.
You've been advocating for a new hospital on the east end of town since you were mayor. What challenges were present then that still exist now?
Well, I think that the health conditions have not improved at all. If you look at United Medical Center, for example, we had 3 deaths there last year, largely due to inadequate care. Again, we have no urgent care center in either Ward 7 or Ward 8. We do have some clinics that operate there, but I don't think anybody would make the argument that we have a real healthcare system that is serving the people who live in Ward 7 and Ward 8. This was a great opportunity to do it with a first-class operator with the George Washington University Hospital, and I absolutely hope that we can resurrect this. And I do believe that there's an opportunity to include Howard in this. I've talked to Dr. Frederick, who's the president of Howard University. We've talked about some of what it is that he wants to see in this, and that would be an opportunity for his physicians and his doctors to be able to have a chance to be able to be engaged with the new hospital. But this amendment by Trayon White basically forecloses that because it mandates any continuing discussion. It just says you will have to work with Howard University. And I think that was a very poor negotiating tactic on his part to do something like that.
I think Ronald in D.C. wants to talk about that. Ronald, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, Councilmember. Good afternoon, Kojo. I have been watching this for quite some time, way back when you were mayor. I'm quite young, but I remember because many years ago I lived across the street from Greater Southeast. So I know the need for quality health care in Ward 7 and Ward 8. But I just don't understand the logic in you going forward if this has been such a long process, notwithstanding Councilmember Trayon White is my councilmember, notwithstanding his amendment and the amendment proposed by Councilmember Silverman. Did you not believe that you had the votes to go forward and vote down, I would say, the Howard Amendment, which I'm opposed to, but to vote down at least that amendment and then figure out Councilmember Silverman's amendment? Is there not a majority without those
apparently,
two in the council?
Apparently not, Ronald, but allow Mayor Gray to speak for himself.
Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely right, Kojo. There was not a majority. First of all, the amendment that was introduced by Councilmember Trayon White was very different than what he and I had discussed. And it should have been apparent from the discussion that ensued on the dais that that was different than what I was anticipating. We had worked on an amendment that would have a group put together that would include Howard University, it would include the chief financial officer, it would include the city administrator, it would include the council in this process that would ensue. The amendment that was introduced and proposed by Councilmember Silverman didn't come as a complete surprise, but I really thought that it was clear that we could not move forward until we had an agreement that had been reached and had been approved by the council. So what this would have done is gotten us to the point of being able to finalize that agreement and move forward, and the council would have to vote on that. I didn't anticipate the possibility of Tryon White's amendment coming the way it did, and I certainly didn't anticipate the approval of the council of having everybody who now works at the United Medical Center having to move forward. You know, one of the worst parts of this is the fact that this is a project coming to Ward 8, a $325 million construction project, which would obviously benefit not only from a health perspective, but from a jobs perspective, the people who live in Ward 8. Now we have the possibility of this project going completely down the drain, which would be horrible from a jobs perspective and most of all from a healthcare perspective.
And having to start all over again, I'm afraid we're just about out of time. Vincent Gray is the D.C. Council member representing Ward 7 and chairperson for the Committee on Health. He's the former mayor of the District of Columbia. Mayor Gray, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kojo.
We're going to take a short break. As you know, this is our year-end membership campaign, so we've got to take care of that business. When we come back, we'll discuss local schools considering name changes because of the legacy of their namesake. I'm Kojo Namdi.